minute, Crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's a Daily Talk Show, episode 148.
Edging closer to that 150 mark. How are we?
Two eps off if you're doing the math.
We had a suggestion actually from BMAC, who said that we should make badges for once people have listened to 50, 100, 150. But at the same time as sending through this suggestion, he also said it'd be quite hard to moderate this. So it was a suggestion, but then he saw his flaws.
The digital type badges? Or what sort of, or like physical, like stitching sort of badge? Like what sort of badges is he talking?
Well, Matt, I mean, you talked about doing some sort of badge, as in like a emblem badge thing that you could sew onto your clothes a while ago. Maybe he's just picked up on what you said from one of the episodes.
Yeah, potentially. Or I'm even thinking it could be the other way you could take it is sort of, you know, Audible. When you listen to audiobooks, you'll get badges. So it's like the 7 days in a row listening badge. But I think I feel like BMAC would be talking about the. I feel like he's into the fashion and the rapping culture or whatever you want to call it. And I feel like it would be more in the physical realm.
Yeah, I like the physical realm. But hey, look, it's a bit too much work, BMAC.
It's currently 5:28 in the morning. Here in, you know, I've been calling it Krakow.
Yes.
We did a walking tour yesterday. Krakow.
Yeah. Interesting. I actually heard a woman who was from Krakow talking, and she did say it like that. Now that you say that, but I like the name Krakow. It sounds like a bird would do it. Krakow.
Well, I do wonder, is it the equivalent of, you know, like Budapest, the locals say Budapest.
Oh, do they?
And because like I'm still comfortable saying Budapest rather than Budapest. I guess it's a little bit similar to the whole paella versus paella.
Yeah. Sean Connery's got it covered. Doesn't even have to try and say it. Budapest. He just... says that the list. Before we get into it, Russ Keys closed the loop. This is quite interesting. Yesterday, I think it was yesterday, sometime this week, we were talking about what happens once your number, like if I close down my number, which I've had since I was 14, 15, what happens to it? And and he worked for Telstra, I think. Do you know?
Yeah, he does? Yeah. Russ, he works in the the Skype business division. So people who are getting like VoIP and stuff installed.
I see. Well, he's informed us. He said, what happens to numbers after they are disconnected and put into quarantine? After a service is disconnected, telephone numbers are taken out of circulation and put into quarantine for a minimum period of 6 months. 12 months if the service was disconnected as a result of nuisance calls. If the number was originally allocated to a different provider, the donor provider, the number is given back to the donor provider. Generally, numbers must not be reissued during the quarantine period.
Interesting.
So my number,
I wonder if that's just an Australian law or whether that... Because what we're talking about... I think it was yesterday, was the fact that, especially in the US, it seems that every time I go there, I get constantly so many calls.
Mm. Have you changed your number since you've been an adult? Oh, you did, yeah.
No, I haven't. No, because I did have a second phone. Remember, I had two contracts going.
That's right, you were dealing heroin.
Yeah, but I love that you had to put that in there. I'm joking, guys. He doesn't deal heroin. But I had two contracts for the very reason that I've had my mobile number since I was probably, I don't know, 13 years old, 14 years old.
I've weathered the storm with my number. I once had this this psycho. She was calling me non-stop, like I'm talking every night on a private number, and it was just like on Saturday nights.
How old were you?
I was like 15, 16, and a disgruntled fling that I had went haywire. And you know what? The funny thing is, years later, like, when I was over, I was probably 19, 20, I bumped into her. I was like, you were fucking prank calling the shit out of me, weren't you? And she admitted it. She
really?
Admitted it, yes.
That's amazing. Can I just say how happy I am that the last couple of days the connection has been terrible doing the show.
Yeah.
And it's such a nice relief actually being able to just have a call without it cutting out every few seconds.
Yeah. We've you've,
that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, you fixed the problem. So it turns out it wasn't Poland's fault, it was Josh's fault.
Well, I don't know. Well, this, I'm guessing it's because it's 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, true.
But also, for people who are curious, what I've discovered is, for whatever reason, FaceTime works a lot better on my phone than it does on my MacBook Pro, even if I'm using the same internet connection. Mm. So, for instance, I'd been using 4G through my laptop that had been using my phone because, yeah, anyway, I'm getting into the technical shit, which is
yeah, which it doesn't
boring.
Really make sense. It's in the tethering, because right now I'm tethering from my phone to my computer and then running FaceTime off my computer, whereas you're going straight through your phone and then recording into a device. It's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I don't know. Hey, I just want to ask you, do you know what the biggest mountain, the tallest mountain in Australia is?
In Australia, Mount Kosciuszko, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I got fucking done again by a tour guide asking questions.
Oh, I see. They flip the tables back onto you. They're the experts in where the town you're in, but then they're saying...
Yeah, well they said, they're like, do we have any Australians? And Bree and I were the only Australians, and we sort of half put up our hand. And he said, what's the... It was part of his story, basically, one of the blokes here who fucking founded some things or did some stuff. His name is Cozzy's something. Anyway, he was the dude who found Mount Kosciuszko or whatever you want to call it. And so it was just one of those annoying things again where I'm like, just like when they asked me to spell plumber. Actually, I don't think I've even told... Have I told that story, or was that only on my Instagram stories?
No, I think you've told it.
Yeah, anyway. They asked what the experts of pipes are. Like, what profession looks after pipes? I said a plumber. And then they straight away said, and how do you spell plumber? Because I was trying to make a point that there's like a B in there. But
yeah,
in
plumber.
The moment, if I'm... Yeah, when I was like... It took me way longer than it needed to, and I sort of had a meltdown halfway through when I got to the B, because I needed to, like, I almost needed to, like, write on someone's back with, like, a finger.
Yeah.
Like, I just went full idiot. Anyway, so I get a little bit panicked in those situations.
The timing on something that happened last night, I ruined a surprise for Amy. So... Her Bodie's godfather, Amy's best friend from high school, I saw just on Facebook. It's funny, like, what you see even without putting in much effort, like just things that filter in. So I knew that he was in Melbourne because literally I was scrolling quickly through Facebook and I saw Ryan said, 24 hours in Melbourne at a conference. And I just absorbed that, knew that in my head. Before the situation, the incident went down. And then last night, I'm in bed and you and I were texting.
Classic.
Classic. Do a show. Then we're texting. We were texting about the podcast setup. So it was exciting. And and so I'm sitting in bed. I'm on Facebook and Craig Harper posted a video that I was in. And I was like, okay. I opened up the video and then you sent a text through. and I just left it on screen.
Hang on, can I just say, if you're going to blame me in some way,
no,
for you've fucking got nothing up to do. This, okay,
you got good. Nothing to do with it, but you all were right, a good, part good. Of it. Amy blames
no,
you.
Wasn't.
No. So your message comes on screen, and I was like, "That will disappear in a second." And I pressed play on this video, and I was like, "Amy, look at this! Look at this! Watch this!" I wanted to watch a video of me, of course, and then all of a sudden, I get another message, and I turn the phone to Amy, and the message slides down, so now you can read it, because I've got the thing activated where you can read what the first bit of the text is.
And do you think that she thought that you were wanting... Do you think that when you said, look at this, she thought that you meant the message?
I don't know. It all happened so quickly, because I've tilted the phone, and I've read the message from Ryan that he sent through, and he said, hey, mate, what's Amy's work address? And then I immediately knew what was going on, and I turned the phone back, and she's just looked at me and laughed, and she's gone, Ryan's going to surprise me at work tomorrow, isn't he? And this is before I even opened the message, and and I opened the message, I read it, and it was exactly what Amy said. Hey, Tommy, what's Amy's work address? I'm going to surprise her tomorrow at work.
So annoying.
Do I lie? I was like, she's seen too much of this. I can't lie. So I was just I just laughed. It was one of those moments where it's like, it's fucked up
so
and it's funny.
So did you know at all that, had you started texting with him, or was this the first rogue text?
It was the first rogue.
The whole,
rogue text. I read that Facebook thing and then, but here's the speed at how quickly we think. Amy said to me, because I was like, you've done it. You've ruined your own surprise. You've now thought that, anyway, and I read the text to her. But she's like, as soon as I saw Ryan's name and then I saw my name, I thought that he was going to surprise me at work. It's like, but how's the timing of that?
Yeah, I remember my mate Till was turning 40, and his wife set up a Facebook event for his party, and I was speaking to him on the phone, and just before I finished the call, I said to him, I'm like, see you at the party. And then he said, and I was like, unless it's a surprise party. And then as I'm talking to him, I'm clicking onto Facebook events and reading the description, and it says surprise party. I was like, fuck.
That's fuck.
You've got to put that shit in the title of the event.
Yeah.
Don't bury the lead. That needs to be the first thing I see.
Yeah, you have to lead with surprise, because then you'll know. But have you ever had any surprise party thrown for you?
Never in my life. I think that would probably be the equivalent of, I don't know, a surprise panic attack. Like, I don't know. I don't think that, because I would be like, okay, who's here? What's like, who am I going to be talking to? I even struggle. I really am so soft with certain things. Like, I've noticed that yesterday I was constantly like trying to yawn. Like, I was doing this sort of half yawning thing.
Yeah.
And I was like looking it up, and it's like, basically the only thing that came up was like anxious breathing. With nothing in particular. I think it's purely the just the constant like interactions of like, even like, I, even though like I'm pretty good extroverted, all that sort of thing, just constantly going up and doing the whole like paying for bills or stuff like that, like Bree has been doing heaps of it. And she was like, we were at a Greek restaurant last night, and she said, can you go up and order? And I had fucked it up within like 30 seconds, where they said, Bree said, oh, do you want to get the plates, the Euros plates? I was like, yeah, sure. So I went up and I said, can I please have two of the, because they're good with the English and stuff in Krakow. Anyway, I said, can I please have two Euros's, please? And she said, pitta. And I said, yes. And then Brie, like from the other side, is like, Josh, did you want pitta? Did you? And I was just like, it escalated it even more. I was just like, yes. And then I was like, and two Coke Zeros. And then they didn't give me the Coke Zeros. And I just felt like ridiculous overwhelm in the sense of like, oh, I don't want to go back and ask for the Coke Zeros.
Are you listening in these moments? Like, are you actually truly listening to the person? And then, is it like thinking about other stuff? How you feel?
I think it's probably like the need to have a quick interaction, and so not giving it the time to really think about what they're asking, and it's just like little things. Like yesterday we got a table outside for breakfast, and it was right in the sun, and I just couldn't be fucked like trying to organize another table had become free, but it still had all their old food and stuff on it. And Bree's like, oh, I think, should we move? And I was just like, we can move, but I just don't want to have an interaction about it. And so Bree ended up being like, oh, can we have this table and all that sort of thing. But what are you like on, do you notice that when you're traveling, do you ever get like this, or am I just a complete weirdo?
You know what? I've probably been the complete opposite, but I sometimes get in a mood where I do ask Amy, but it's like very rare. Like I kind of want her to handle. It's either I'm really tired, or I just can't be asked. But I was just thinking, your trip, if it was documented from the outside, could be very close to Carl Pilkington. That he did with Ricky Gervais. Yeah. What was that show? Yeah. He travels around
Idiot
the world.
Idiot Abroad. Yeah. Yeah.
I just wanted you to say that bit.
Vibe a little bit. No, I definitely... No, I am wary that it is one of my... and Bree's very good too at just having conversations with people, whereas I don't tend to... Like if we're in a group, just like little things, like even we caught like in Positano, we caught a boat from one small beach to another one, and I was like, I wasn't sure about, because I was like, I'm gonna be on a small boat talking to people. It's a real fucking issue. So I'm trying to get better at it, but definitely my default when it comes to it, just like things like paying for the bill and stuff, especially because in Krakow you like leave a tip. And so it's just, here's one that was gave me an unnecessary amount of anxiety.
Yeah.
We in Germany, in Munich, we got breakfast and it was 29 euros, right? It was 29 euros and 60 cents. Yeah. Anyway, Brie, we had a 50 euro note. So we give that, and then Brie says, I'll also give them 40 cents. So it's like a flat number. And I was like, what? Is that how? And like in the moment, I just accepted it. But it was just completely, it made no sense whatsoever. So the person comes over and we've got like this 50 euro and then 40 cents. And then somehow I convinced that somehow equaled to like a flat number. And so I was like, oh, like I sort of said to the waitress in like sort of a dumb way, like, oh, just 20 euro. Like she was sort of like looking a little bit bewildered, like, oh, what do I do here? I said, oh, just 20 euro change, as if she was the idiot. And I walked out, I was like, Brie, that math didn't fucking work out at all.
And did you get the 20 euro? Like, yeah, I get what you mean.
We got the 20 euro, but we gave an extra 40 cents.
Yeah.
Plus, it was 60 cents. Like, I think that if it was 29.60 change, I don't know. It's a complete mindfuck. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I get it. I've worked in cafes and, what do you call it, lunch bars or kiosk things. And so people are constantly doing that. And it would always, I'd literally just half the time just like, attack of just, I can't compute at this moment when heaps of shit's going on. They've given me 12.60, but it was only X. I'm just like, It fucks you. You know, I've fucked someone before doing that, where I've given them money and then they've given me more back. And I was just like, oh, dude. Because I'd worked it out before and then I'd thrown a spanner in the works for this poor bastard.
Yeah.
And then they gave me more money. I did give them, I corrected it for them. But it's funny. It's so weird, though, that you're doing a world trip and this is the thing. Because the amount of people, there'd be people listening that experience this same feeling of anxiety. And they probably haven't gone on a plane. They probably haven't gone to New York City or to India. Or where have you been? Pakistan, sorry.
Pakistan.
Yeah. Hundreds of thousands of people in one small little area. And
I don't know. I think that it's probably, it's more the microtransaction. I actually don't mind busy streets necessarily. I don't mind because the thing with New York is no one's like talking to you. But the like people trying to stop you to go into restaurants, they're actually really good here. They're like super polite. But there's just certain things that just and I realize, and so I'm trying to like push beyond it. I'm like, I know that this is so ridiculous. But it's just even things like, say, having our bags on the train and dealing with the social etiquette of that, of like not wanting to take up too much room. Mm. And so like putting the bags up and then trying to move stuff around and just like, that can be an interesting one.
I wonder
one
if there is like, say, if you were to look at the percentage of your social anxieties and if it just like tilts slightly further, you know, like how could that get out of hand? Like what would send that over the edge?
I literally thought about it. Yes, I'm like, I've got to start meditating because I've literally, I spent like all day like in this half yawn, like crippling, like, like.
I know people that do. I know. Like, I've met people that do that. And they're, my friend, and you know him as well. He does it and he's an awkward dude and he. And he freaks out and starts yawning.
It's funny. We all have our like tics, though. I talk about like your one. Like if I ask you something that you don't want to answer, do what you do. You did it like through your teeth.
Yeah.
And I've like picked up on it as a thing. But yeah. So the annoying thing is like I was literally on a tour yesterday to Googling how to stop anxious breathing. And then just like... or like half yawn, like I didn't even start with that. I started with, I'm like, maybe it's not anxiety. Maybe it's something else. And so I typed in like half yawning constantly. And they're like, yeah, it's anxiety. Oh, it's like shallow breath thing. It's like that thing of like, oh man, I just can't get a full breath out.
It's people who huff and puff. I traveled with my mate Fitzy and he was just walking around the hotel room. Totally in all sorts. I did say to James before that in LA I want to take you out to on like, you know, I want to do like a LA nightclub experience for you. And James like, oh mate, I don't know if you could handle it talking about you.
I think this is the thing. I pride myself on so much like self development. And listening to audiobooks and being and also trying to get out of my comfort zone. And I think potentially it's probably a similar lesson that I've had around like washing and stuff. Like I remember I used to always be pushing back, leaving my washing to the last, like until I'd run out of clothes, which I've actually done on this trip as well. But I remember just a few months ago, like probably at the start of the year, I got into a really good pattern where I was like, okay, on a Wednesday, I'll do my washing. I did it for a few weeks in a row and I felt so amazing. And what it made me realize was I think that sometimes I neglect the small things because the big things seem like more important. So I'll say, nah, because I'm doing this fucking podcasting or I've got this like business that I'm running. So like, yeah, it's okay that I don't do all these little things. And what I'm discovering is that the little things like really add up to the big things.
Oh, 100%.
And so, yeah.
I've been to like people who, from the outset, you think, oh, they're successful, or you know, they've got great business, or they're earning a bit of money. And I've been, and this has happened a few times, been to their house, and it's a fucking pigsty. It's like they just and all it's all it reeks of is you don't have your shit together. Like you don't have the basic basic elements of life. You don't have it together. Like if you've got money, get a cleaner. It's it seems like this weird mindset where it's like, yeah, if you're making a lot, outsource that shit. But then it is probably the trap of just thinking, oh, I've got this to do. I you know, no time to even organize a cleaner.
Well, that's even. Funny. I think it's even worse when you're in a long-term relationship. Like, you know, Brie and I have been together for over 10 years, and so she has picked up a lot of the shit that I've dropped. You know, including socks. But in the sense that, like, and I do want to make sure that even though, like, I think that that can happen in long-term relationships where it's like our flaws get sort of fixed and it can be a beautiful thing. It can be corrected. And so Brie is outgoing and she's good at having conversations with people and she's much better at having hard conversations, I think. Like I remember when she, a couple of jobs ago, basically she was working, she's working for a fashion company and they'd hired a spokesperson, like a journo influencer type of thing to talk at an event. Anyway, at the brief, Brie works in PR and marketing. The briefing of the event, the girl was basically off her face. She had like a substance abuse problem, right? And so Brie like had a meeting with her bosses and all that sort of thing. And they're like, yeah, no, we can't have her at this media launch, you know, being the spokesperson. So it ended up being Brie had the hard conversation where she can be, she can have a hard conversation, but also be really empathetic and say, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, we've sort of worked out that you're struggling with this, blah, blah, blah. You know, tomorrow we've got the event on. We think for your health, you can't do it. We're still going to cover this, this, and this. Mm. And the girl was like super grateful and nice about it. And it's just like that hard conversation. Like Brie is so good at being able to just go towards difficult stuff. And especially it's almost like, oh, if you want the... if they brought out the wrong type of food at a restaurant, Brie would be like, oh, of course, like we'll just speak to the waiter. Whereas I'm always like, I might just eat this because I can't be fucked with dealing with whatever is about to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's a problem if you're gluten intolerant, they brought out a loaf of bread. So I wonder if there is people that have sort of down that rabbit hole.
Just what, like nearly died because of eating a food they're allergic to?
Oh, I'm allergic to crayfish.
Exactly.
But all it's fine.
Yeah, I'd definitely, if I was allergic to things, and I'd definitely be dead by now because I would just be, I'd be eating so much food just out of being polite.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it a bit. It's like sometimes, because I am that person that would just go, nah, wrong, just next. But it's like, I think there's probably something in it for me the win is in that moment I'm not succumbing to this mistake, but I am acknowledging that I can deal with this in another way than my default setting, which is to you know, cause a bloody scene and get something. I didn't order this, you prick. But I wouldn't say that, but you know, like I think if I could go, well look, a bit of perspective in the situation. And so maybe that perspective for you is the opposite, which is hard because it's still hard to me. I want to blow up. It's my instant. But maybe
I even struggle with just the like changing any sort of meal. Like I've always had sort of a policy in my mind that whatever the chef is delivering within the menu, you shouldn't change that because all the flavors go together. Like they've got sort of a system in place. Yeah. So when I, especially my mate Nasan, who is from the US, like he's, I guess, maybe it's diner culture. I don't know what it is, but he he'll fiddle with things. So he'll say, oh, can I have this? I guess it's like diner culture of saying how you want your eggs, and you want this on the side, and can I have this on top? And I just remember when him and I traveling for 3 months together, and I was just like, I can't handle. You know, there was one, and just complaining about, I remember we were in Barcelona at the McDonald's, and he complained about the quarter pounder being dry. And he's just like having this like standoff with the manager at McDonald's. I'm just like, this is too much. I can't fucking handle this. I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah, maybe you draw the line at McDonald's.
Yeah, no, I think so. Mate, just very quickly, McDonald's, we got two waters and two drinks, like two Coke Zeros at Macca's. It was like $18 in Munich. It seems really expensive.
Just for four drinks.
Yeah. So my thing is, don't get, and that's even a thing that we're noticing here as well, is the food. We had like two lamb gyroses, two Coke Zeros, and it cost us $16 for all of it. It was like amazing value. But the thing is that you can still pay like $2 for water. So it's like bottled water. It's not like so Italy, for instance, really cheap with water, maybe because maybe their tap water's worse. I'm not sure. But that's been an interesting observation, that even though food can be cheap, water isn't cheap everywhere. Mm. So
we need it, and they know we need it, so they charge a lot. But I'm looking forward to all the refills in America.
We haven't done a word of the day in a couple of days.
Have you got one?
It would be nice if I did. How about
I've got one. How about I've got one. I know when it can be used, but I don't know the meaning of it. So I'll say it to you, and then you can look it up and tell me. Analogous.
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 Put it in a sentence for us.
So it's like analogous. I've even forgot. Hang on. Analogous.
This is a disaster segment.
This is what happens when you spring it on me. It's analogous to. So you'd say it is analogous to. So it's like it's in alignment.
Google. I'm trying to spell analogous. I just realized that what I've gotten to so far on Google is A-N-A-L. So I've written anal, and it's definitely, I don't think it's that spelling at all. Analogous. Analogous. Let's try and work it out. Analogous. Put it in a sentence, please.
It would be, so again? you'd say something like, it's analogous to playing sport, playing hockey is analogous to, I think that's correct. But this is the whole point of this segment. We know fuck all. Analogous.
But this is a disaster because I don't know. We need to know how to spell it. I don't even know if it starts with an A. Analogous.
Well, you had anal in there.
Guess. Well, I've changed it completely to be an I. Intelligent. Well, we don't even know if this word exists. Who did you hear it from?
I don't want to out them. So they, because they might have got it wrong.
Was it James?
No, it wasn't.
Analogous. Look, we're going to have to finish the segue. Can someone in the meantime, because we can't spell it, we're sort of a bit stuck. Actually, what about if I go, I'll ask Siri. Let's go. How do you spell analogous?
Analogous.
Isn't that...
O-G-O-U-S.
Oh, see, I would have said, I'm an idiot. I straight away read analogies. So it's analogous, A-N-A-L-O-G-O-U-S. Can you just believe that this has worked, by the way? That I was able to use Siri. Like Siri was the thing that helped me. This has never happened in my life. I'm so glad we've recorded this. Yeah, it's comparable in certain in certain respects, typically in a way which makes clearer the nature of things compared. Do your sentence again.
I said something around hockey is analogous to, and then I didn't finish it. But is that
that is
comparable.
Yeah, this, I mean, this is good for us. This is good that we're doing this. And they've said, yeah, anyway, perfect. All right, I'm glad we did that segment. I've got to go. But it's a Daily Talk Show, everyone. hi@thedailytalkshow.com is our email address. And your podcast reviews are appreciated, especially because the last review at the moment is from Tommy Jacket, which is just making me feel slightly uncomfortable.
And if this is your first ever listen to us, you'll get context of what Josh is talking about from yesterday's episode.
You don't need context. Anyway, The Daily Talk Show. Have a good one. Bye.